When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
You can't win anything with kids.
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
How much are the players looking forward to Arsene Wenger arriving?
That's a face down and a goal! Oh, fantastic stuff!
Hi, guys, and welcome to another week of the Phoenix Five. On this week's show, we'll be diving into the depths of the football's characters of the game, the enigmas, the hard men, and the outright nutters. Growing up in the 90s, we had a chance to see some real characters. Vinnie Jones, Roy Keane, Dennis Wise, Paolo Di Canio, Razor Ruddock, Duncan Ferguson. The list just goes on. Vinnie Jones, Dennis Wise, Paul Ince, David Batty, Julian Dix. What do you remember about the hard men of the 90s?
In every team, there was at least, four or five that would like to get stuck in. Put us. Obviously, the back four were always hard men in the 90s. That is the makeup of the 90s British football team, the 4-4-2 type. But every team always had at least 3-4 players that would like, they actually liked getting a good 50-50 or leaving a bit on someone, being a bit naughty now and again. Perfect example, Dennis Wise, Julian Dix, they would always leave a little bit extra on the Wimbledon team, the crazy game. All 11 of them were characters and hard men. In the 90s and even late 80s. So that's what I really think football these days is missing, people like that.
I'll go to you, Harper. Do you think them players like Ruddock and Wise and Duncan Ferguson, do you think they could make it in today's game?
Named all like the Hardmans in the 90s that I can remember. But like you said, when you say, do I think they could make it in today's game? Probably not. In my opinion, I think the football's a lot faster. Those players, like fitness would have been, it's nowhere near as what it is now. Back in the 90s, there was like a massive drinking culture where I think that's kind of stopped. Like, yes, they still go out, nightclubs and stuff like that. But in the 90s, all the, like Arsenal, for example, pretty much on the piss every day. And I just don't think you can get away with that now.
Okay. So Miller and Harper, QPR fans, who would you have said was the person in your team that were putting that crunch tackle?
I wouldn't class QPR as like a dirty side. I just think the one player that probably comes to mind is probably Rufus Brevett. He seemed always up for it, put in a good tackle. Danny Maddox was another like centre-half that probably put a tackle, but I wouldn't say he was a horrible player, but Brevett, I'd probably say he was probably the most...
He loved a sly tackle, didn't he?
Yeah.
Someone up in the stands. I thought Holloway and Simon Barker in the middle, they always used to like to leave a little bit on someone.
Holloway
was just a bit scatty. Right, as you said earlier about that type of character. Yeah. He's what he's like as a manager. On the pitch, he was just as bad. But Simon Barker, he would like to leave a nice 50-50 on someone.
Rowlands, when he was there, I thought that he loved to tackle. Paul Murray.
Yeah, Murray was...
Obviously, we had people like Vinnie Jones, but that's just like, he came toward the end of his career. He was shit.
That was for money.
He wasn't... He weren't great for Rangers. It's just like you said, Adam, it's just for money.
That's us not getting Vinnie on for the second time. Lee's spoken about him. Just dog his movies while we're at it, and they're definitely sealed the deal.
Holland, obviously, you're from the Arsenal Academy of fans.
Oh, I wish I was at the Academy.
But you know, we know Arsenal, Vieira and players like that and Tony Adams. So we know a bit more about the Arsenal. I'm going to go to Graham. Fulham, obviously, as a Fulham fan in the 90s, obviously you weren't in the Premier League at that point, but you were in the sorry, lower leagues where you had to be a bit more of a character. The tackles were flying around a bit more. Is there anyone that comes to mind to you that you would say, quite at Fulham, he was... Oh, you didn't want to mess around with him.
Yeah, you're right. We was in the low leagues for years, weren't we? I remember, like, obviously, I supported Fulham. You had Arsenal fans and QPR fans, so you had to take the piss out of me every now and again. But now, when my dad first started taking me in the mid-90s, some of you might remember, there used to be a player called Terry Urlock. I think he played for Chelsea. Mate, he was horrible.
Did he play for Man City as well?
Possibly, Lee. I'm not too sure, because I only started remember him at Fulham. But he wasn't a good footballer at all. You knew he was on the pitch, though. Do you know what I mean? And we also, Rufus Brevett played for Fulham as well. Totally what Miller said. He used to slide in all over the place. I wouldn't class him as a hard man as such, but he likes to leave his foot in a lot. But I think, obviously, keep your eye on Fulham, West London rivals, but I think they're quite similar in what Lee said. They don't really have any many dirty players. Do you know what I mean? The two I just mentioned, they're ones that like to leave a foot in and that, but... Yeah, and the ones you first mentioned, the Premier League ones, you know, your Dicks, your Fergusons, Ruddocks, Pierce, Vinnie Jones, Vieira. I mean, the word hard, it just comes into it. You know what I mean? So, like, I mean, Dicks, I don't think he was a great player. But, yeah, you saw a new one. I mean, Rolf, but, there definitely are players, mate. Definitely are players. Because I asked Miller, didn't I, last week about playing against Duncan Ferguson, and he said he'd love to. I'd shit myself.
I'd
play against that fucker. Do you know what I mean?
He give you a Glasgow kiss.
Exactly.
Vinnie Jones, I think we can all agree, fantastic at what his role was in the team in terms of making sure that people were scared to play against him, picking you up by the armpits, as Miller will know, these kind of little tactics. We said, do you think they can go and play now in this year? And Harper, you said, I don't think they could. Do you think someone like Paul Wintz, obviously, because technically would be classed as maybe a hard man on the pitch, and Roy Keane and David Batty... But technically, all three of those were decent footballers. Do you think, Harper, that they would not be able to adapt their deck game to fit in with now? But in terms of their approach to a game, do you think they wouldn't be able to adapt to a 2020 Premier League season or 2021 Premier League season?
Oh, no, like you said, it's hard to say, isn't it, if they could or they can't. But I just think that the game's just got so much quicker now. And obviously, those three players you just named, Keane, Ince, Batty, look, they're all good. I can't say... It'd just be an opinion, but I'd say yeah, they'd be able to get into sides, but
it's just their attributes that you'd have to take away the tackling now. So, and that was a big part of their way they played, and that was what made them what they are. And the fact that a tackle's is a dying art, you can't do it anymore. I think it would hinder the way they played. Technically, they probably would. They're still good footballers. They're still good footballers, still good at what they've done, but their tackling was what made them. Not all of them, because you can't tie them all the same brush. So you've got to do this on an individual scale, because you can't just put them all in the same bracket. They all did different things. But I feel that, they could make it, but like I say, like it's ruined it now, because you can't tackle. So like we said this with the Vieira and King, would they have been as good? And, you know, if these days. But I think that it's taken away what they were good at. So, yes, they could get in. But, yeah, you know what I mean? It's, yeah, like, you can't really have a hard man now, because you get booked for, like Lee says, every week, taking your top off and silly things. So these players wouldn't stay on the pitch for 90 minutes.
Do you think this ties in with the lack of passion in the game? I don't remember in the last, I've got to say, personally, this is me. You've got Beckham's goal against Greece, which is leadership in a different way. But the actual passion of watching a player on a field crunching tackle or just motivating a team, bar John Terry, let's take John Terry out for a second, putting on an England shirt with the passion that me, you and any of us in this podcast would feel to play for our national team. Do you think that goes hand in hand with the hard man and passion of lost of today? I'm going to go to Miller.
So you're leading on the England one. And as you were saying it, the last person I could really think of that showed that type of desire of, say, like a 90s Paul Wintz type character would be Wayne Rooney. He would be the last person I've seen in an England shirt that showed that desire and passion, leadership, and would leave a little bit on someone. Don't get me wrong, got sent off every time and ruined every tournament, pretty much. But he went in with mentality. You watch him at the beginning of the game, he's going out there to win that game. Do I think it's missing from the game now? Yes, massively. I'll go back to the one that you said about the three players, Batty, Ince and Keane. Could they do it in today's? I think all three of those players take the tackling away from it. All three of them technically walk into any team in the Premier League.
Well, I just, you know, you just said about Wayne Rooney. Like, he is the second most carded Premier League footballer.
No way, isn't
That's
he?
Madness.
Yeah, he's got 101 yellow cards.
Wow.
I'm surprised that he had that many yellow cards. He'd done a lot for the teams he was in.
Paul Scholes is up there in that list as well.
But Paul Scholes couldn't tackle.
He just couldn't tackle that.
He was awful. He couldn't tackle at all, could he? Terrible. Anyone well, how he can misjudge it so badly.
But do you say he's misjudging it or he's doing it on purpose?
He's doing it on purpose. He, you know what I mean? You can. He was so known for that. He just rolled with it in the end.
He was a very good tactical tackler. He knew when he was getting a yellow card. He was eating a yellow card. He knew when he was tackling.
I agree with everything what David Ollis said, to be honest. Because when you mention like players like Julian Dix and Neil Ruddock, you don't necessarily think about them as technical players, do you? As players, you think, oh God, he was hard. He was dirty. It's like you said, when we done the Arsenal Man United one, when we talk about the Ian Wright and Peter Schmeichel tackle, I mean, Dave, again, he summed it up pretty well. Back then, you would have gone, cool, look at that, get in there. This day and age, you look at that tackle, it's not the fans' fault, because what they've been brought up in this generation, think, oh, get him off, oh, you can't do that, get him off. How times have changed so much. It's true, though, isn't it? You know, you get passionate about those sort of tackles, even though they are dangerous, don't get me wrong, human nature hasn't changed, but their attitudes have changed.
That one, you would win a game from a tackle like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And we're talking about passion for England. Stuart Pearce, it just sticks in my mind when you mention England and passion and psycho.
You stole my thunder, Graham. I was waiting to pull Stuart Pearce out.
I don't think anyone could top him in our generation. Like, obviously, Terry Butcher just before us with the blood pouring down his face and whatnot. He's definitely up there. Pearcey, that's, you'd always have Pearcey in your side just for passion anyway, you know?
Do you think anyone in the England team now, I mean, we're going off Hardman slightly, but do you think anyone in England now cares? Obviously, they don't want to lose as a professional sportsman. But do you think any of them have got that whole desire of, lads, it's, you know, I mean, Harry Kane now, Harry Maguire, if they lost 2-1 to Brazil or something, do you think that, or there was 1-0 down and that crunching tackle guy nil, that come on, lads, let's get you up and the motivation. Harper, do you think that's there anymore? Do you enjoy watching
them? I'd say, I do believe that Gareth Southgate has restored some of that. I think years ago, like you said, years ago, I don't think, people would fake injuries just not to turn up to the squads and stuff like that. I do believe that. But I do believe that Southgate has restored that back in.
Do you see the difference now? So, I mean, if we look at the 90s, we say Stuart Pearce, Julian Dix, Razor Wright, not missing just on England in terms of in your team. I think captaincy changed from probably late noughties where you had, I think John Terry's era was still in the noughties, Sol Campbell. Not a leader of passion and vocal, but led by example. Who would you rather, I'll go to Holland on this, would you rather a captain that is blood and guts and thunder like a Stuart Pearce, a Vinnie Jones, or a captain that doesn't necessarily vocalise himself, but the standards on the pitch are just very high?
Like David Silva.
David Silva's a good example, yeah.
No, for me, I like the blood and guts. I like the passion, you know, like, obviously, we never played at any type of level. But if I saw someone getting stuck in a game, I was, even though it was only Sunday League, I loved that. And it made me want to do the same. I probably missed a tackle or missed a person by a mile. But it fired me up to do it. And I like that. For me, I like that. I feel now, this is like in the 90s, we had tacklers. It was passion. Were we technically any good? I feel like we've done away with the hard man style of it now. And now we are technically better without the tackling. Do you see what I mean? I see, back in the 90s, it was blood and thunder, and there wasn't, we spoke about it, you know, I mean, it wasn't technically very good.
Bulldog spirit, like that, word.
Yeah, well, yeah, but we, you know, that never, you know, we love all that, because it's what we grew up in. But you see, like, back then, we had that fight, we had that, but that's all we had. We wasn't very good on the ball.
You say that. Three players that we mentioned. Yeah. King, Batty, Ince. All, as I said, all three of them technically very good on the ball.
Yeah. No, but I agree.
They're both in their locker.
I agree with what you're saying, but remember what we said about you in 96? We all agreed that we weren't technically that very good on the ball.
I just think football at that time wasn't very good.
You might be right, but what I'm saying is, back then, we had that. We had the fire, the blood and the guts, but we didn't have much else. And now we don't have any of the blood, the fire and guts. And I feel like we're playing half decent football now under Southgate. So you can you have both at the same time? I don't know.
Good question, Graham.
I think you can.
Yeah, this is going to turn in. This is going to turn into Dave Graham agreeing with David Holland every question, I think. yeah, I'm from the we're from the same era, but I prefer that, the blood and the guts. You talk about Stuart Pearce and you mentioned Vinnie Jones in the same breath there. The difference with them two players, Vinnie Jones was average for me. Stuart Pearce was a great player. So I'd definitely rather have him in there. Hard tackling, he wanted to win. Lee made a comment about David Silva. Fair enough, David Silva, you can't compare Silva to Pearce as in the way they played the game. But in this day and age, if technically David Silva, and it's not just Manchester City, forget them at the moment, but the last season, and you could talk about Liverpool captains, they have a couple of bad games and the fans are getting on their back. You know, even though the effort's gone in to try and win the game, not necessarily the way Stuart Pearce or Vinnie Jones have played the game. You know, the pressure's on them, get sack the manager. Players like Neil Ruddock, Julian Dix, Stuart, it's fantastic games, but the team would lose, maybe lose two or three in a trot. But the fans are applauding them because of the effort that's gone in. They're not worried about the result. What they've seen on the pitch, cool, he had a cracking game today. Unfortunately, we got beat 2-1. You know, we've got Aston Villa next week. That's like we can put in a decent performance. I do feel sorry for him, even though I don't. But when you're talking about hard captain, the way the game was played, you're never going to persuade me. I'd rather have a Stuart Pearce on my side. Whether I know he's not technically better than David Silva, but I'd rather have a guy like that in my team than a modern-day captain. There's no character to him at all.
I think that's fair enough. The next question I would say is, do you think you could be as average as some of the players were? So you look at a Vinnie Jones, as Graham said, who is decent. Robbie Savage could be put in the same category potentially. Do you think those type of players, and I think managers in the back in the day, when you had the manager who had that player, was like, do you know what? Get him in. He's not technically great, but I'll tell you what, he'll put in that challenge. He'll go the extra mile and he'll roll it up. So I don't think people like Vinnie Jones and Razor Ruddock would get into a Premier League team now. I think they would struggle to get into a league, maybe League One team they would play at.
So I'll tell you what, wouldn't a team like Newcastle want someone like that? Like a Robbie Savage, a Waterboy, would go get stuck in and put yourself about. Teams that are struggling at the bottom of the league now, that are showing no fight, no team spirit, just teams are walking past them.
Like grafters, Miller, yeah?
Yeah, grafters. People that will actually put an effort in, and they could be really good footballers or just average footballers, but as long as you're putting a shift in for your team and not letting people run past you and pass them on to somebody else, because that's what the teams like Newcastle and people like that at the bottom, fair play to Scott Parker at the moment at Fulham, his team are actually playing for him. They're actually putting themselves about and getting touch tight and trying to put a tackle in and showing a bit of passion for the club that's paying their wages. Teams like Newcastle at the moment, their players are just on the pitch doing whatever they want, not playing for the manager. You put somebody like we keep referencing Jones, but say Savage or a Batty or someone like that, every team would want someone like that fighting for you at the bottom. So could they do it now? Definitely. Are there teams at the bottom of the league missing somebody like that? Yes.
Do you not think they'll be seen as a liability? The fans may like a player like that. But if you look at Fulham...
And the fans are the ones that get you over the line.
Yeah, potentially.
Like as Graham was saying, the fans are right up your back. And if all 11 players or 15, whoever's on the bench, if they're all on the pitch, blood, sweat and tears for your club... If they misplace a pass, they're not going to be on your back because they know you're putting in 100% for your team.
Okay.
As long as you're representing the club and the people that are paying you the right way, then they're going to be behind you.
No, I totally agree with what Miller's saying. Like I say, passion, you know, like that's what fans want to see. You know, when you see, like for me, Ozil, you know, like he was a luxury player, but he was a luxury we couldn't afford to have because we had no backbone in the team. So when you've got no spine, and you've got players walking back, and it's just no good. Like relegation, like exactly what Miller team said. Teams at the bottom, you can't afford to have luxury players like that when you're battling to get points and you're nicking points here and there. You need someone who's going to get stuck in, and the fans love them type of players. You know what I mean? So
you know, be able to have both. You've got to be able to have both as a footballer. You can't just be a luxury player.
Agree. Let's move on to the crazy then. I think the 90s, I think there's so many players, whether it be hairstyle, whether it be celebration or whatever it would be. I'll use someone like Taribo West. But I don't know if you know about this, but his birthday is open to dispute. So the Nigerian FA suggested that the defender was actually 12 years older than he claimed. So if this was true, he signed for Derby, who thought he was 26, but 38. And he later became a pastor and started practicing exorcism rituals. It's just that kind of character. Then you had someone like Kitz Beyer. I think he's called the monk. They call him the mental monk, who just was a bit eccentric, a bit crazy. Rene Higuita, Higuita, nicknamed El Loco or the Madman. It gives you some ideas about his characters. He lives up to the moniker because, especially on the field, when he played, he often spent more time dribbling past opponent attackers than he did keeping the ball at the net. Who wants to start me off? Where have all the eccentrics gone in the game?
Well, it's just, I just believe that it's just different now. Like Graham said about pressure and stuff like that, there's just so much at stake. Everything's just money. Like, you can't afford. I'd probably say, like, the last person that had a bit of character was probably Balotelli, I can remember, of late.
But look at the abuse he got, though, for being it, though. He got loads of stuff.
Yeah, so...
That's social media, though, now that the players are getting it from the
wing. In my opinion, that's why no one does this, because...
They're all reading from a script. Have you seen what they talk about at the end of the game? It's the same thing. Yeah, we've done really well for the team. You was brilliant today, Mason Mount. He goes, yeah, well, it's all for the team. You know, we're sticking together. It's the same shit every single week. They're not allowed to be characters.
No, but they have media training in the academies now. They're teaching them that young how to cope, the press.
But it's the same. It's the same answer every week, isn't it? Oh, you had a great game today. He goes, yeah, well, you know, we're just doing it for the team. We're just strong team spirit here. You know, like, yeah, we're just doing, you know, we're together. You know, we're getting.
Who was the Man City player the other day? Left back Zinchenko, is it?
Yeah.
They asked him, could they win all four trophies? And it was a leading question, and he had to answer it. And he says, yeah, well, we're in all of them, so why couldn't we? And the media jumped on it, and then they interviewed Pep afterwards, and they went, yeah. And he called him by Mr. Zinchenko, not by his first name, Pep, and basically shut him down. He says, that's why he's a player and not a manager. Trying to calm everyone down.
Yeah, right. I've got a little list here, right? Of a certain player that fits into hard man, crazy man, bad tackler, just an all-out nutter from the 90s. His nickname was the Animal. He's known as Edmundo. Right, listen to what I've got to tell you about this guy, right? He ain't right. Right, he had a bad temper anyway. We know that. We know who Edmundo is. He's a lunatic. He had a bad temper. But apparently, when he was playing for Vasco da Gama against Sao Paulo, the Sao Paulo bench demanded that he was sent off during a match. So what he'd done, he went over to the bench and he attacked three substitutes. The first one he slapped, the second one he knocked out, and the third one he kicked in the groin, right? And playing for Brazil, teammate Romario, we all know Romario questioned his sanity. So Edmundo beat Edmundo, punched him in the face. I'll carry on. When he was at Vasco da Gama, he made sure he had a clause in his contract that he'd go to nightclubs 7 days a week, whether they liked it or not. I reckon he was that good they put it in. I'm keeping going here. In 1995, he was banned for inciting one of the biggest mass brawls in the world football has ever seen. He smashed the TV camera after missing a penalty. He was found guilty of drink driving and killing three people. Right? He went to prison. And because he was Edmundo, his sentence was so lenient. And in the daytime, he was in jail. And at nighttime, night games, vice versa, he'd come out and play football. Right? When he went to Fiorentina, he had another clause in his contract that he was allowed to go to the Rio Carnival when it was on. So the year he was there, they were top of the table, Fiorentina, after the new year. The carnival was on. The manager at the time, I can't remember it was, said, you can't go, we need you, we've got a good chance of winning the league. He basically said, fuck you, I'm going. Never came back. Fiorentina ended up finishing outside the Champions League places. Does what he wants. His son's first birthday, he hired a circus, right? A circus in the back garden. Had a chimpanzee there. But you have to put this on Instapol when you do the, the social media work. It's a picture of him feeding a monkey with whiskey and lager. He got the monkey absolutely wrecked, apparently. I'm still going here.
Sign him up.
I'm nearly finished, though. He trashed the dressing room in France 98 when he was dropped for an unwell Ronaldo. He refused to speak to any of his teammates when he played for Vasco da Gama. And now this is the best bit here. Lads, everything I've told you now, guess what he's doing now, Edmundo? Guess what his job is?
He's working in the circus.
No, guess again.
Lawyer.
Nearly. Well, it's a fucking police officer. It's a police officer. He's a police officer. But on a good side of him, though, Paul, I forgot all about this. You guys might remember. We know, remember when Man United playing the World Club Championships in 99, 2000?
Yeah.
He was up front for Vasco da Gama with Romario.
Yeah.
Romario scored two and Edmundo scored one. But you've got to go on YouTube. Anyone that's listening, go on YouTube. Go and have a look at the goal. It was like just like Bergkamp's goal against Newcastle. Then we spun around the defender and put it in the back of the net. Fantastic. But, I mean, the list. I had to cut the list short, boys.
But he also, with Edmundo, I think he only stayed at one at a club a season and they moved him on. But his goal record...
Sounds like it, yeah.
He had like 205... I think he played over 200 games and scored over 150 goals. So his goal-to-game ratio was fantastic, but he never...
Yeah, he's quite prolific, yeah.
It was literally a season at a club and then they moved him on because he was just so difficult to handle. Gascoigne, if you're thinking of stories about players that are just a little bit loco, Gascoigne comes up. What do you think about Gascoigne in terms of crazy? Harlan, what do you say is the most craziest thing that you remember about Gascoigne?
The one that I remember the most, and obviously he's unwell, and we all know this, is when he turned up at Raoul Moats for shooting with a fishing rod and a chicken, saying he knows him. Remember that? He turned up at Sky News, all the cameras there. He said Gazza's turned up, saying he knows him, and he said Raoul Moats got a shotgun underneath his chin. And Gazza's show, he said, let me through. I'm going to go and speak to him, talk him down. And he didn't even turn out. He didn't even know him. He was just sitting in his house watching the telly. He's seen the news come on. It's round the corner from where he lives. He's picked up a fishing rod and a chicken and bowled round there. So for me, you know, it's funny when you talk about it the way I've said it. But, you know, he's got problems. But, yeah, that was one of the maddest ones I've ever heard. And,
God.
Raoul Moats took one good look at Gazza and blew his brains out.
I mean, Harper, I think characters at QPR in that period, who were characters that you remember? Like,
well, I used to be a little Scottish player that Rangers used to have, and I used to love him, and I just think he was a little bit like that. John Spencer.
There's only one Johnny Spence. That's what you see at school, didn't
he? I used to love him. I used to have a soft spot for him. I just think he was a great little striker. We got him from Chelsea, and yeah, for me, he was one of I loved watching him. I think he had a little bit of character. Like, he was put his foot in. He was a little bit naughty.
That's the Scottish in him. That's what they do.
Yeah. Well,
how come you never then?
Oh, we put my foot in. It just never got near anyone.
Just not quick enough.
They'd already skipped past me by the time I put my foot in.
But yeah, like we said about Gascoigne. There ain't no characters anymore, really. Like, he seems like a funny guy, you know what I mean? But, well, Declan Rice at the moment, and like Mason, when he Mason Mount scared him or something. And,
that's funny, that is. That video is hilarious.
Yeah, so like the youngsters, maybe, but we don't hear about any like, Graham just explains about Edmundo. Like, could you see, like, I don't know, Jamie Vardy doing something like that, or
the show, what it is now, the PC Brigade, there's so much up on everything that you know people would do it, get so much bad negative press that they wouldn't bother doing it. It's not worth their aggro even coming out with these stories, even though they probably go on behind the scenes to release them. There's so many people that are, shouldn't be doing that and all that sort of stuff, that it's just not worth the aggro.
Well, it's like the latest thing I can probably remember to up to date is the Derby lot.
Yeah, and during driving.
Yeah, Keo. Yeah. Like, that's probably the only story that I can remember that relates to anything like from the 90s, really.
What about Phil Bardsley banging out Rooney?
Yeah. So,
but again, that the Phil Bardsley was a good one because that was just something that in the house, and it was.
I know, it's funny, isn't it?
I don't think that's real. I think
The 90s was the peak of it. I think the early 2000s, we still had this in the game. But in the last, I would say, 8 to 10 years, it's just disappeared. Because as we said earlier on, football isn't a sport. It is a sport, well, that sounds silly to say. But it's a corporation. And yeah, it's all about media training. It's about representing your brand. It's the same as working now for a club as it is for working for a well-respected company. As a managing director, you would not be caught short in any situation of any relevance because the the repercussions were so bad. And a lot of these clubs, you know, like Juventus are on the stock exchange, Man United on the stock market. You know, if a player goes out and does a line of coke and bangs 15 birds, that's the front page of the Sun. Their stock market, it's going to take a hit. Let's move on to celebrations. Yeah.
God, celebrations, because the team, as we keep saying about passion and stuff like that in the team, a good team spirit gets everybody going. It gets the fans going. It gets the managers going. It gets the players all together. And building that team spirit, a lot of it's done away from the training ground. Like we've seen, obviously, the 96 team with the dentist chair and stuff like that, the England team. Cameras now on the phones and the smartphones, and the conversations that we've had previously, players don't bond together. They don't socialise together. The Arsenal team, Tuesday clubs, Monday clubs, whatever, every day club, they pretty much had the Arsenal team. The players don't do that no more. They come, corporation, it's a job. I'm turning up, doing a day and then going home to get my sleep and stuff like that. When the other players in the 90s, they were out. They were saying, look, Gaffer, we need Wednesday off. We want to go out today. The celebrations were built off of that team environment, the bond, the friendships that they had away from playing. So they'd have a bit of banter on the training ground and say, look, one of us has to do this. Like Lee Sharp going to the corner flag and stuff like that. Or the one that, who was it? Ince and Owen, when they done the rub of the hands. When Owen, that, yeah, Ince copied him. He didn't know what it was all about. It weren't a thing. Owen was doing that, sending a message to somebody who just won a lot of money. And he was rubbing his hands. But to the camera, it looks like these guys are actually, they've planned this. Or the Chelsea team, who've done the photo. That I think that's one of the best celebrations, when they all laid there and waited for the camera. Because that's when all the smartphones and stuff were coming in, when players were being accused of certain things in nightclubs or holidays and stuff like that. So it was like the Robbie Fowler sniffing the line celebration. It was a, let's stick our fingers up to the media or to the people that are using these new phones to try and shame us. So the celebrations I thought were brilliant, but I always remember Lee Sharp's ones. I thought they was brilliant.
Well, you used to do celebrations in a game, and then when you used to play in the goal at the back,
used to copy them.
But yeah. What are you copying now? I mean, Alan Shearer was obviously known as quite a boring kind of arm up and running around the touchline.
So that's a Lee Harper celebration.
That scene is iconic though now, isn't it, Alan? You expected him to do it, didn't you? That was the thing. It's boring, I totally agree, but it became his iconic celebration.
He created an iconic celebration, which was quite great. But, I mean, the last celebration I can remember, I mean, now obviously it's all computer game based. I mean, there was a Fulham, was it Slava, I think it was, who pulled up the mask.
For Kandu Sava, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he had the mask and his thing. And again, when was that? When was he at Fulham? Was it 20?
That's when we were playing at QPR, Loftus Road. So that would have been about 2001, 2002, something like that.
It's amazing the difference that now someone celebrates and the team come together. Oh, it's a great team bomb. It's just huddling around. There's no, I mean, I think Jesse Lingard had a few with Paul Pogba. They had their own little movement and stuff, which was quite.
That was from a computer game, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was rubbish, though. That was like grime dancing and all that. I can't be getting on with that. Give me the Peter Crouch robot any day of the week. I'm not having all this fucking flossing.
It's become serious. Everything is now, as you said, the money, the high stakes, the media scrutiny, the woke community of fearing of upsetting someone. And where is it? It's just gone so the other way compared to what was in the 90s. Well,
I'm going away from football, right? But I was going to use an example as Ben Stokes, as a cricketer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, he's a perfect example. Like, he's great at his game, but, like, obviously he's got into a bit of trouble and stuff like that. And that's it. Now, I don't know. It's just, like, they're just straight on him. Like, he can't do nothing.
This is another thing for the media, though. The media just, build you up to shoot you down. And, like I say, Ben Stokes was, what you're talking about, was amazing. And then he chinned someone who was starting on a couple of gays or something, wasn't it? And then he was apparently the bag, allegedly, by the way, before we get sued. And then I say he's on the front of every paper getting absolutely destroyed. So the media, I've ranted about the media before, but Paul kicked it out of it, which he'll probably do now.
I'll tell you another celebration I liked. Adi Bayor.
Wait, I've got a good story about this, right?
Whole level for the pitch. Hey, I love that.
Listen to this, right? I used to, on the way in when I had the van and stuff like that, I used to pull over and text Talk Sport in the morning. But because I was so early, they used to reach on mine out. And they were talking about celebrations, right? And they were talking about, and I messaged in and said, Adebayor was out of order for Man City when he skidded along his knees. Anyway, the presenter turned on me, called me an idiot. He said, your fans were giving him abuse the whole game. He deserved it. I'm sick of hearing people text about this. I mean, I was texted in and the presenter dogged me. Luckily, it was about 5:30 in the morning and no one heard it. He mugged me right off, he did. He went, Dave from Shepherd's Bush, this, talking about Adebayor, you got what you deserved. Yeah, turned it right around to me. Started my day off with a right stinker.
But yeah, players like that, like or when players go to another club and they score and they don't celebrate, that winds me up more than anything. You're playing for a new club and they're paying your wages and you're not going to celebrate. But
I disagree with you, Miller. I disagree.
Well, I love when Paul does that. I disagree, Miller. He does that quite a lot.
You said it wrong. You said it wrong, Paul. What you got to do it. You got to do a Miller.
I'm going
to
flip it.
What I'm going to do now is
going
to
flip it.
You've got to flip it.
Hold on, Miller. I'm going to flip it. Clubs aren't necessarily, but players don't necessarily want to leave the club and they have a loyalty. When Lampard went to Man City, again, moving into the 2000s, but when Lampard went to Man City and didn't celebrate, but he didn't want to leave Chelsea. He was forced to leave Chelsea and he has a lot of respect for the fans. And just because they're paying his wages, he's still giving his all for them, but you don't need to rub it in the club's face. I really disagree because I think that shows the passion that a player can have for a club. Is that, do you know,
why don't they have that for the club that they're paying their wages that they're representing?
Because
Ian Wright went West Ham and scored against Arsenal and celebrated. He still wanted to be at Arsenal.
Maybe, but he's not an Arsenal fan. At the time, Wright wasn't an Arsenal fan. Wright was a Crystal Palace fan. So
yeah, neither was Lampard a Chelsea fan.
But I don't think the celebration, it comes back to just because you play somewhere doesn't mean you have to celebrate a goal. And I think maybe that comes with an ego. Maybe it's an ego thing that you're thinking, well, if I celebrate that, my legacy is going to be tarnished slightly on that.
I think that's what it's more. That's not more worrying about yourself than worrying about the fans that are getting enjoyment out of you scoring. By you not celebrating, they're all like, yay, why aren't you celebrating?
I feel like this is a very English thing, this. Because these foreigners wouldn't give them
polite. Exactly. Being polite.
Like Suarez, he scored against Liverpool. He's running around that stadium going mental. I don't give a mic. It's a very English thing, isn't it? Like this, what you're talking about here. It's a British thing, you know, where in Italy and that, they wouldn't give a shit. They'd be all over it.
The only loyalty show is to the team that's paying your wages.
But you're talking about wages and stuff like that, we're talking about celebrations and that, right? So if you're like a manager, I'm just going to use this person as an example, Loire, right? Yeah. When he used to do about 400 flips. You're his manager, you're thinking, fuck me, you want to stop that, mate?
Like, yeah, Rooney started doing it as well, though. And I bet Ferguson's like, you hurt your leg.
Didn't someone injure themselves? Was it Man United? Man United, Ferguson went mental.
In the 99 Cup final, when he slid across the grass, he damaged knee ligaments.
Yeah.
And ultimately, it was one of the contributing factors to him having to retire because the sliding across the grass was the injury to his knee, which is crazy. I don't know. It's a difficult one. We're talking about crazy players. Let's move on to someone like Di Canio. I mean, couldn't Di Canio survive in today's game? Like the craziness that man brings to anything.
It's weird, isn't it? Like 1 minute he's pushing a ref, the next minute he's catching the ball, like and like
giving it back. Which day of the week it is for someone like that? You never know.
You're right, Adam. Yeah,
Graham. What I mean, we spoke about Di Canio either last or the week before. In terms of, you said, you know, one season it's, as you said, pushing referee. The next season he gets player of the year because he's got the goal going in. That in 1 week you can get just, it was just a normal guy. He's in there playing football. And the next week he might just kick someone over the pitch. The next week after that he might substitute himself off. Where are them players gone? Why have they gone from the game? Why have we lost them players? Because they could adapt to a game that's now. I mean, Balotelli, Harper said, in terms of Balotelli, I enjoyed Balotelli. I hated him as a player for Man City, but I love reading the stories about him going out and just throwing £20 notes out to fans and stuff.
I'll say one thing about him. Did you rate him as a player?
No.
Did he get as far or still going as far in his career because of his character is where I'm leading the question.
No, I think he had bundles and bundles and bundles of talent. But he was thick.
Basically, you're saying he's got real talent, but he just does not understand the game.
Theo Walcott, for me, as again, going off brand slightly, but Theo Walcott had technical...
A runner.
was very good as a player, but he had no idea of, he didn't have a footballing brain. I think if you put a footballing brain inside of him and go, right, he knew to run around, but he didn't know. It's a bit like Dan James at United at the moment. I quite like that watching Dan James, but he just doesn't look like he's got a footballing brain. He runs into blind alleys and he doesn't know what's with the final ball. And he is quite young. I think he was under some good managers, but everyone I've heard interviews about him just have kind of said in the nicest way possible, he's a bit thick. But Graham, I'm going to bring you in. Di Canio, players like that, why have they gone? Where are they? Where are they gone?
Right. Right, okay. Before I answer that question, just slightly go back to the celebration. There's one player with the celebrations, iconic 90s celebration that started all off for me, and he's got the same namesake as the guy sitting here today. Surname. The one and only Roger Miller.
Yeah.
Roger Miller, for me, started it all off.
The hits don't lie.
You don't think of Cameroon, you do to an extent, but you don't think of the team. You think of him running over to that goal, that corner flag, and doing that lovely little dance, that little shimmy dance with his hips.
That was fantastic. The Dutty wine, wasn't it?
What, sorry?
That was the Dutty wine.
That's the one. That's what started it all off. But, yeah, moving on to Di Canio. The right Paul we spoke about the other week. I mean, the guy's got a tattoo of Mussolini on his arm. If he's straight away, you know there's issues there, isn't there? He's a very controversial guy. Would he survive today? He'd still do the same things today. Of course he would. His character's not going to change. His attitude's not going to change. But would he get away with it as much as he used to? No, of course he's not. And things are going to be picked up more now. We've been talking a lot about this day and age today. So he was a manager at Swindon and Sunderland. He had so many issues, apparently, didn't he, with players. He was fighting with players. Disciplinary just from him, not so much the players. I mean, he sounds like a very hard guy to get along with. Fantastic player technically, but I think he's up there with the Edmondos and the Mihailovic's of the world. A lot of talent, but you can't manage these guys, can you, really? He could have survived in today's game on technical ability alone. Of course he can. But his attitude, nah, not really. Not in the Premier League. I'm not too sure.
Like, characters like that, righty and people like that, no matter what team they went into, they was always their self. They just had that personality of, I'm going to be who I am. You either love me or you don't. This is who I am. And thinking along the West Ham line, players with character, not only just for what they've done in the change rooms, away from the ground, on the pictures, celebrations, or hard men type characters. Players that were really skillful, that could create something, that were a bit, hold up, where's this come from? Makes me think of Joe Cole. When he first come into the scene, his character as a footballer and how creative he was, and then it just went. The minute he went to Chelsea, Mourinho and that just got hold of him and said, no, you're going to be a left winger, pretty much. You're not allowed to do any of that creative stuff. You're not allowed to put your personality, your stamp onto the game. We're going to take all that away from you. And that then, in my head, it made me think managers, the characters of managers, certain managers that we've had, like the Mourinhos, like, as you said, Phil Brown or people like that, who have just been a bit scatty. Or who's the Tottenham guy that we spoke about the other night?
Gross
with the train ticket in the first interview. Like some weird managers we've come across in the 90s and noughties.
Egil Olsen's wellies.
Wimbledon. So yeah, like we just had some weird characters in the British football.
It just doesn't happen anymore. I think. Which is fine. We have to accept that it's moved on. The game is different, and we can all accept that. You know, that's why we feel we live through the best era. Well, I'm going to remember another name. And again, he was back in the 90s, really 99, 2000, was Xabi Xavier for he played Everton, Liverpool, Middlesbrough. Which
Middlesbrough.
Was the yeah, the yeah. blonde hair. When he got banned, I think it was France. No, Euro 2000s, when he manhandled the referee and got sent off and got a 9-month ban. He was always a bit of a character in terms of hairstyles and bringing your individual. I mean, Pogba's the one now that you would say, if you looked at the Premier League squads, and Bertram was a good one at QPR at the time. Is it Mark Bertram? I'm right in thinking.
Yeah. Hair,
having your character being on the pill, and Pogba gets criticised. And I'm not a huge Pogba fan, but Graham Souness has picked him up on his hairstyle on numerous occasions in the past. Back in the day, loads of people had their own character. Eric Cantona would be colour up. Xavier with blonde hair. You have people that might pull their shorts up or pull their socks down. Why has that gone out of the game? Because that's just an individual, a little bit.
Paul Pogba's hairstyle now is tame compared to what they used to have back in the day. Even Earl Barrett's flat top, man, that was much a better hairstyle than bloody. It is, though, isn't it? Let's be fair.
You love a bit
hairstyles
of
are quite tame now.
I'll tell you, you had some dodgy haircuts, David Beckham. Remember the corn rolls that he had?
Yeah, yeah.
But that wasn't. I don't think his was for character. His was more for magazine shoots.
And he was nodding his head like, "Yeah, I've done that."
Yeah, Paul did do it. Yeah, Paul put that on the Instagram.
I missed the cards in the game, the style of football, and Let's move on to Cantona, and I think Cantona. I know Holland might have a bit to say about Cantona, but eccentric. Players that just had a little bit. I mean, Ravanelli, you could say, was a bit eccentric as well, and just had that something about them that would just turn up. But you just a manager would go, leave him alone, because when he turns up on Saturday or Sunday, he's just going to turn up and play amazingly. Where are they gone as well? Holland on Cantona.
I said about Cantona in a few episodes before. I say the kick was great. I told you that was last week or the week before. I loved it. I wish he'd do that every week. Some fans deserve that. I think character-wise, I don't think it was real. I think it was manufactured. All this collar-up stuff and au revoir and all that. I thought that was planned. I'm not having it. Like I say, with Di Canio and that was who they were. That Di Canio was a real eccentric. I don't think Cantona was. I think he was a manufactured one.
Graham? Not even about the seagulls.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Talking about the seagulls. You talk about Cantona, I'll tell you what, you've probably seen it since. Like, I forgot about it. It's on YouTube. Man United played away at Selhurst Park against Wimbledon. Finney Jones takes Cantona out. Have you ever seen that? And Cantona gets up straight away, walks towards him. Now, I don't know whether he says to himself, don't do anything, or because it's Finney Jones. Mate, Finney Jones takes him out. But then you go to another video, Cantona, he does like when he was playing for Marseille, he done like a two-foot challenge, and it's worse than a kung fu kick.
Yeah,
Dave's right. He's just manufactured with a collar up and that's for show. But I still think he was a bit tapped as well, the bloke. Like Miller just said, he's talking about seagulls. No one had a clue what they're on about.
But that was done
on about. But they applauded him anyway. Like, what are you talking about? Go on.
The seagulls thing was done as a fuck you.
Planned, yeah.
It was planned. It was like, I'm just going to go out there and talk absolute waffle and they're going to eat it up and think I'm some philosopher. But I think with the camera, I think it was manufactured because I think he retired at 32, which is pretty young, and he was still doing it most seasons or most weeks. He retired at 32 and went into movies, and I don't know if you watched him in the I think it was the last World Cup when Eurosport had him on. It was the Eric Cantona segment, and he would sit there bare-chested, and he would just have a staff next to him and give these opinions of how football was going. I think he grew into the character, definitely, but I still think...
Manufactured then, huh?
Not manufactured. I think the arrogance and the
pressure. Him at Leeds, though. He had that arrogance when he was at Leeds as well.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. But there's a difference between arrogant and eccentric. You're born eccentric. You can, you can be born arrogant, don't get me wrong, but you can play on the arrogance as well.
Harper, I'll bring you in. What do you think?
I you know what? I really don't know. Like, he's controversial. Like, he's a bit like Di Canio, really. They're pretty similar in my eyes. Like, you just don't know what you're going to get with either of them.
I think Dave was saying, Di Canio was sort of off the cuff, whereas Cantona was sort of premeditated or pre-planned, Dave. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying that kick was premeditated. That was definitely...
No. The rest of it, yeah.
Yeah, but I feel, the other stuff, I feel like he's thought about it first. Like, and Paul come up with an example of this stuff with the seagulls and that. Yeah, it was planned. So why wasn't everybody else planned?
But would you like... I mean, wouldn't you like now to see a character like that?
I like all that. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I'd have him in it now. Yeah, and they are missed. We're just talking about Cantona specifically. That's all.
Who would you say now? Then I'll go to Harper first. Who would you say, Harper, in the Premier League? Would you say right? I'm going to name three characters of the game. Even managers, bring them in because I think that's a dying art with the Allardyces and the Harry Redknapps and those kind of managers. Who would you say?
Alan Pardew's dance.
Who would you say, Harper? Now that. Is a character in the game. If you
you mentioned him earlier, Paul Pogba was probably one.
Then you're stretching.
I'd say manager Neil Warnock, maybe. You think he's got a bit of cat bit
he,
about
yeah.
him?
Yeah, but he's from Aria, isn't he?
But he's
like, yeah, he gets a lot of stuff out of him.
But he's our era. I think Mourinho, yeah, manager's got that bit of flamboyance and a bit of, now he's just the moody character.
Obviously. Not anymore. He's gone.
No, he had it. He had that, you know, that arrogance.
Special once now. Yeah.
Jack Grealish has been into a bit of bother.
Yes.
Yeah. Good video.
Yeah.
But even, let's look at Jesse Lingard. I mean, again, we're going slightly now, but I think it was last summer when he was in with Forza Mensa and I don't think it was Greenwood, someone else, and they went away for the weekend or whatever, and a video was leaked on it. Oh, I think, no, it wasn't incorrect. I think he had an Instagram video that was posted and there was like some gyration of the hips of imitating, like, having sex with someone, maybe quite relaxed at like 18, 19 year olds. And the media frenzy behind it was like, oh, it's outrageous. And you're thinking, nothing happened. Like,
but this is all off the pitch. Sorry to interrupt, Paul, but this is all off the pitch. All the players that we're talking about, really, bar Edmundo, I suppose, because he's done a bit of both. But all this stuff we're talking about, you can't lie, Vinny Jones and one, they all happened on the pitch. The stuff you're saying is correct, but it's all like, you know, social media, it's off the pitch, isn't it? You know, I think there might be a slight difference between the two. I don't think you could put Jesse Lingard and Jack Grealish in the same bracket as Eric Cantona and Roy Keane. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
just an opinion, right?
Agreed.
Talk about what they're doing on the pitch, like what we miss them on the pitch. So,
well, there's no one. There's no one that really on the pitch that you can think, I can't even use Scott McTominay as an example. There's no one. There's, no.
It's don't awful. Bother coming to me because I'm not here for that. I'm here for the 90s, so I ain't got a bloody clue, mate.
I think it's corporate. And again, this is why I think our era was the best, because you had the characters in the game. You had the people like Julian Dix and Mick Halford and who would put it about.
Oh, yeah, Julian Dix as well. I forgot that he went to Liverpool for a season. I thought he was always at West Ham.
No.
When I saw that come up, do anyone remember him there?
Yeah. Remember, he used to smash in on penalties, though. Do you remember the penalties he used to take?
What a good penalty taker he was.
Terminator.
Yeah.
The keepers didn't want none of it. They was running up. Well, there you go, Liverpool.
You brought a good point up there. Goalkeepers. Let's talk about goalkeepers if we're going to go anywhere with controversial characters of the 90s and maybe early 2000s. But Holland, I'm going to go with you. Crazy goalkeepers. You go on. But
cheers. As far as from what I read and hear, they're all a bit crazy. They're all known for, you know, they're like the scaffolders of the football world. they're all mental.
What's the scaffolders?
Have you ever met a sane one? I can't really remember. I say the Higuita thing.
Bruce Grobbelaar.
Yeah.
Chilavert.
Yeah, Chilavert.
Chilavert, but
I think I'm going to mention one. He was like Mark Bosnich.
Oh, he liked
the
line.
He loved the line, old Bosnich, didn't he?
Yeah. Obviously,
allegedly.
Sorry, yes. He done the Hitler salute as well, allegedly, but it's still good but allegedly. What about played for United twice, Paul?
Sorry,
he played for United twice. I didn't realise you played for him twice.
He was the only Ferguson signed twice.
Do you remember the Bulgarian? You might not remember the Bulgarian goalkeeper in USA '94. Used to wear a wig. He was bald, and then the next game he wore a wig. Don't ask me his name. But just
find that, Paul. Please find that and put that up.
I used to sign Chilavert for Championship Manager. Remember, we used to pick our squads at school.
Yeah.
I used to sign Chilavert and then sign him free kicks. I used to see him score free kicks in Championship Manager. Championship Manager at the time. Unbelievable, Jeff.
He scored loads of goals, Dave, didn't he?
Goalkeeper was always known for being eccentric and crazy. Now they're just part of the team. But you couldn't do it now. You just can't be. You can't be a personality in modern football.
Can I just read a quote? It's made me laugh, actually, doing a bit of research. Sinisa Mihailovic, okay? I'm not sexist, but women should not be allowed to talk about football. We're still doing guess the player. We're going to do it slightly different this week, so we're going to get through it a bit quicker. And I'm giving the guys three clues, see if you can play along. So I'll start with David Holland. Aston Villa, Welsh striker.
Dean Saunders.
Well done, Dave. Dean Saunders.
Yep.
Tottenham, Scottish striker.
Chris Armstrong.
Incorrect. Gordon Jury.
Oh.
Miller.
Go on.
Tottenham, Norwegian striker.
Iverson.
Well done, Stefan Iverson.
Well done, Miller.
Mickey. Bradford, Portuguese, striker.
Pinto?
No.
George Cadet. And he got that in the quiz last week.
Let's go right. Dave again. Aston Villa, Irish, defender.
Paul McGrath.
Paul McGrath, well done.
Fix.
Lee Harper, Blackburn, Greek, midfielder. You're going to kick yourself if you don't get this.
Karagounis.
Incorrect.
Donis.
Georgie Donis. Everton, Portuguese, defender.
Nah, I'm gone.
He was mentioned earlier. Abel Xavier.
Yeah.
Paul McGrath. Tottenham, Romanian, midfielder.
Popescu?
Nearly. Dumitrescu. David Ireland. Sheffield Wednesday, English striker.
David Hurst. Oh, my God.
This is full on. Let's hand it over to Holland.
West Ham, Romanian, striker. The Arpa. Boogers. Romanian, West Ham, striker.
Who? Radachoy.
Well done, Florian Radachoy. Miller, Liverpool, German striker.
Riedler.
Well done, Karl-Heinz Riedler. Man City, German striker.
Rosler.
Well done, Ole Rosler. Dave, Coventry, Australian striker.
Oh, shit. Oh, I don't know.
John Aloisi, well done. Yeah.
Shit, yeah.
Lee, Coventry, Swedish goalkeeper.
Hedman.
Newcastle, Belgian defender.
Oh, Albert.
Albert, yes.
Well done, Philippe Albert.
Yep.
Sunderland, French goalkeeper.
Perez.
Donald Perez, well done. Derby, Estonian goalkeeper.
Oh.
Don't say it, Mickey.
Oh, I know it. Ah, Mark Poom.
Mark Poom, well done.
Does French anyone know defender. The scores?
You're supposed to be keeping your own, I said.
I've got no idea.
Well, when you edit it, you can count them. Right, Lee. Man United, French defender.
Blanc.
Incorrect. Mikel Silvestre. Miller. Chelsea, Nigerian defender.
Oh, left back. Bakayoko.
Say it again. Say it again, you just said it.
Babioka.
Celestine Babiaro.
Babiaro.
Paul?
Yeah, go on.
Man United, Czech midfielder.
Karol Poborski.
Oh, yep. Well done, Karol Poborski. Dave? West Ham, Cameroon, midfielder.
Mark Vivian Foe,
well done. Lee, Sheffield Wednesday, Pinky. Italian striker.
Carboni.
Benito Carboni, well done.
Nice, Lee.
Miller. I thought you was going to say Canio then. I was about to say, for fuck's sake.
Miller, West Ham, Israel, midfielder.
No. I still don't. I know who you're talking about. I can't. Berkovic, that's it.
Oh, Berkovic, yep.
Yeah, no, I ain't got it.
I'm nearly out of them now. Paul, Sheffield Wednesday, Dutch midfielder.
Wim Jong.
Nearly.
Blinker.
Reggie, yes. Blinker.
G.
Chelsea, French midfielder.
Deschamps.
How's he pulled that out of the bag? It's Didier Deschamps. And last one, Paul. QPR, American goalkeeper.
We said about him last week.
No, we never.
Oh. That was Stacey, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Look at the face. Jürgen Sommer. Go on, Jürgen Sommer. That's it, I'm out now, boys.
Massive thanks.
Do you like that format, yeah?
That was good. I don't know how
I think I'll do that on a regular basis, then, if you like that one. It sounds good, doesn't it? We've got through quite a lot there.
Yeah, well done.
The West Ham one, Dave, because I didn't. You cut out. I didn't even hear if I was right or wrong.
Florian Radachoyu. That one?
Yeah.
You got that right.
Well, thank you, guys. I think we'll end it there. Thank you for the quiz, Graham, and... we will see everyone next week. Don't forget to send us an email at thephoenix5show@gmail.com or follow us on Instagram at thephoenix5show. Thank you very much, guys, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, guys.
Sports Social Podcast Network.